For those of you who are new this morning, you are so welcome. It's great having you with us. My name's Andrew, one of the leaders here at the church, and I'm picking up a talk in a series that we've been in for just a couple of weeks now, but I'm having a look at this theme of the family of God. The Telegraph is a major newspaper here in the UK, and on the 26th of December of last year, they carried a news story entitled "The Devastating Cost of Britain's Loneliness Epidemic." We live in an increasingly lonely world. Research shows actually that loneliness is increasing in our society in every age bracket. It's felt especially acutely by older people, but also among younger people. I tend to think of, and can't help but catch the eye of those of you at university at the moment. We tend to think of university, at least I think of university, as this place, this time when you're connected with so many different people and you get to be ultra sociable, right? But the Higher Education Policy Institute published a study in June just of last year that showed that almost one in four students at university are lonely most or all of the time. And the irony is that in a world that is increasingly electronically connected, people are feeling increasingly emotionally disconnected. Well, we're having a look at this theme this morning, the family of God in a lonely world. In a world where there is loneliness, isolation, lack of connection, God calls his church to be family, to provide a place of belonging and genuine relational connection. And our vision here at Grace Church is to fill Cornwall with healthy churches where everyone can find a home. And what we're doing in this series really is unpacking that phrase, healthy churches. What are healthy churches? What do they look like? What do they feel like? Well, this morning we're focusing on the idea that a healthy church looks and feels like family. And to help us do that, we're going to be turning to Ephesians chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible with you, you might want to turn to that passage. We'll put it up in the screen in just a few moments. I'm going to pray, then we'll get into this passage together. Then I'm going to invite Catherine, another member of the church, to come and join me at the front. We're going to reflect a little bit on the church's family before we look at some application for all of us. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the joy and the privilege of being able to gather this morning and praise you and thank you and acknowledge that you are a great and a good God, and a God who will one day fill the earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. And we thank you, Lord, that in this world, in the here and now, where there's so much brokenness, where there's so much mess, where there's so much sin, where there's disconnection, where there's relational conflict and tension, we thank you that here and now you call your people and you empower your people to bring something of your goodness into the world. And our prayer for all of us, Lord, is that you might help us this morning to play our part in your great purpose, that we might see that happen more and more. Come and have your way. Speak to us, Lord, for your glory's sake. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. I want to take this section. Paul writes in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth." Now, Gentiles are people who are not Jews. They're not descendants of Abraham, not biological descendants of Abraham. "You who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too, being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I love that last paragraph. Paul is there talking about the church, and it's so typical of Paul. He's piling metaphors one on top of the other. He uses kingdom language. He talks about members of the church being fellow citizens. He uses temple language. The church community is the place where God makes his home, where God dwells. And he uses family language. He says that church means being members of God's household. Being part of the church means that we are members of the household of God. That word household is the same word that Paul uses in some of his other letters. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And that word family is the same word, household, family. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, a passage that myself and John Doran looked at a couple of weeks ago, Paul writes, "If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household." Same word again, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is the household of God. The church is the family of God. And as Paul writes these words, he has in view the entire storyline of Scripture. So to get to grips with what Paul is saying, especially there in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to need some people to come and join me at the front. And I would love it to be as diverse a group of people as possible. So give me a shout if you're from Zimbabwe. Great. Could you come and join me at the front, please? I need a Kenyan. Kenyan, if you're from Kenya. Dorcas caught my eye there. Come and join us, Dorcas. Oh, you're Nigerian. Nigerian. Come and join us from Nigeria. Vera's from Kenya. Come and join us, Vera. All right, let's have some Brits now. Catherine, come and join us at the front. Ray, could we have you as well? Northern Ireland. Great. Is Peter Keevil in the house? Right, come on, let's have a Welshman. Right, we've got just stand there on the end, Peter. That's great. Now, I just need you to separate yourselves from one another a little bit. Here we've got different people living in different places, different cultures, different languages, different backgrounds, different everything. Now, when God set out on his great mission to bring blessing to all the people of the world, how did he go about doing it? Think about how God could have done it. God could have sent an angel to the people of Great Britain and brought revelation to the people of Great Britain, who would then worship God over here in Great Britain. He could have sent another angel, another messenger of God, to the people of Northern Ireland, who would then worship God in Northern Ireland. He could have sent another angel over here to Zimbabwe, who would worship God as Zimbabweans, another angel to Kenya, another angel to Nigeria. I'm so sorry about that. A terrible thing to get wrong. And even to Wales.
Amen, brother. Bless God for that.
And these people would be worshipping God in their own language and in their own way, but they would be doing so apart from one another, separate from one another. God didn't go about his great mission in that way. What God did was he took a single man, not from Northern Ireland. He was living in modern-day Iraq, actually. He was called Abraham. And God said to Abraham, I am going to use you to create a family. And I'm going to bless your family. You're going to have innumerable descendants, Abraham. They're going to be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the grains of sand at your feet. And through your family, I'm going to bring blessing to all of the peoples of the earth. And Abraham's family became known as Israel. And as the storyline of Scripture unfolds and we move from the Old Testament into the New Testament, we glimpse it. We see what God's great purpose was from the very beginning. That through this family, all the peoples of the earth become blessed by being drawn in to the family of Abraham. Because the family of Abraham is no longer made up just of those who are biological descendants of Abraham. The family of Abraham is made up of people who put their faith, their trust in Christ. And they're drawn in, sharing family life together, the household of God together. And church is the local expression of that family. Church is the place where that family life is worked out. Isn't it a beautiful thing that God's doing here in Grace Church, in bringing all these nations and cultures and people of different backgrounds together, where we get to express something of what is in the heart of God? Because being saved, being rescued, receiving God's blessing does not mean, it cannot mean that we worship God in splendid isolation. Being rescued by God means that we are reconciled not only with God, but also with one another, sharing life in family together. Thank you so much. You've been so gracious, especially you, Dorcas. Do come, go and take your seats. Now, that is what is going on in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is addressing the Gentiles, the non-Jews. They're not descendants of Abraham. They're not biological descendants of Abraham. And Paul says, you were once far off. You were separate. You were foreigners. You were strangers. You were over there. But now in Christ, God has brought you in. God has drawn you into his household, into his family. And church is family in its very essence. It's family. Laura and I are fond of using a quote from someone called Krish Kandai. He says, the less like family church is, the less like church it is. The less like family church is, the less like church is. Church is family in its very essence. Now, I'd like to invite Catherine to come and join me at the front. And we're doing this as part of our series. Each Sunday, we're bringing someone else in the church, or last time we had Millie Burrows from elsewhere. Come and join us. And we're going to just reflect on the theme. And I've asked Catherine to join me as we reflect on this theme of church as family. Catherine, not everyone here is going to know you. Come and stand over this way a little bit more. Can you just tell us a bit about yourself, introduce yourself to begin with?
Hello. Is this working? Oh, it's working. Now. Great. Hi, I'm Catherine. I have been part of Grace Church for over 8 years. I'm almost 35. I grew up in Cornwall and I studied at Falmouth and then I left never to return. God didn't let that happen. I managed to leave for 4 years and then I returned, almost 9 years ago and I work at the Eden Project. I'm a designer. I work in the digital marketing team. And through my 20s, so at this point, most people would say, and I'm married and I've got 3 kids. That is not my experience. I would describe myself as an accidental single. That wasn't exactly how I thought life was going to pan out for me. I've never been in a relationship So my experience of family looks a little bit different to lots of people here, but also I know that there's quite a lot of people here who probably do relate to that as well. So in my 20s, I went to about 40 weddings. I'm like a pro going to a wedding. To begin with, I used to find it really difficult. I found it really emotional, completely exhausting. And I knew that I couldn't continue going to my really good friends' weddings and feel like that each time. God did a miracle in my heart. And I actually love a good wedding now. free food, lots of celebrating. And if I ever get to plan one myself, then I can just, yeah, what I can say is the guest experience is going to be sublime. I know what it is to be a guest at a wedding. So now in my 30s, I am at a stage where it feels like everyone around me is having babies. And that's really exciting. And I've got really, really close friends where I've been able to be incredibly involved in their lives and in the lives of their children. But also it's really painful at times as well. I found myself being told the news that another colleague is pregnant, and you smile and congratulate. And then, yeah, I found myself crying in the toilets. That's happened a few times this year it's at work. And so there's a tension there. I have a lot of knowledge about what it is to bring up children. I feel like I've gleaned a lot of information, but talking when there's lots of baby chat going on around me, and sometimes it just feels like that's quite an exclusive club that I can't be a part of. So yeah, that's my experience in my 30s.
Turn myself off. As I was thinking about this morning, I felt it was really important for us to reflect on the theme of churches as family with someone who you don't have a family of your own, you don't have a husband, you don't have children of your own. Our hope and our aspiration here at Grace Church is that as people come into the church family, people like yourself will find a depth of friendship and companionship that will go some way towards mitigating that sort of that sense of missing out on the companionship of having a spouse. Can you just tell us a little bit about your own experience of church as family?
So one of the reasons that I decided to become part of Grace Church is because this place feels like family. It's place community for me is really important within church. I think that's what church is. There's a few people in this congregation who are particularly important in terms of feeling like family. So when I was at university, I met someone called John Peters, who then met someone called Claire, and they got married. And so we were really good friends at uni, and then carried on being really good friends. But it was at the point I moved back to Cornwall and then became part of this church that our friendship over that time has really deepened, and we would, I think it's fair to say, we would describe ourselves as feeling like family. So an example of how that works, a few days before Christmas, I get a message from my parents. They have tested positive for COVID, and so suddenly my Christmas plans are all up in the air. So I messaged John and Claire and said, oh, Mum and Dad have got COVID. Letting them know as quick as a flash, I get a message back. Would you like to join us for Christmas? Inside, I'm thinking, yes, absolutely. That sounds like the best. But also, Claire is 39 weeks pregnant, and so you don't want to impose yourself on them. So I sort of checked, and Claire's response that came back was, "It would be a treat to spend Christmas with you. We've always wanted to do it, but we can't normally steal you away from your family." So. For me, I had, it was a really good solution to, Christmas getting a little bit messed up. Someone else, Georgie, who's just over there, Georgie became a foster mum quite recently, and that has been a journey, I would say. We message most days, and just sharing in the joys and the trials, and the wins and the moments of high stress. We live an hour away from one another, but I help as much as I can practically. So if you see Georgie wearing some pretty snazzy footwear, I don't know if I can tell the story. So it was Georgie's birthday a couple of weeks ago, I took her foster child shopping, gave them absolute free rein over what they could buy, and they felt that Georgie absolutely needed a pair of very pink, very high heels. Georgie's saying that you, did you wear them to the school run once? Wow.
Next
I feel
Sunday,
like
Georgie.
Next Sunday you need to show us these. And so that's a silly example, but actually, I know we've talked about it. I know that being able to open something from your foster child that you haven't had to buy yourself, meant a lot. And that was something that was really easy to facilitate for me. And we just went after church. And so that's doing family. We also went on, we did a one night breakaway, to celebrate Georgie's birthday. And we were doing something that, normally only couples are able to do, but we teamed up and we went and did a spa break, and that was, yeah, really fun. And so, yeah, Georgie's like family to me as well.
We often use that word family in relation to what we're going for here at Grace Church. Is there any aspect of that that grates with you? I mean, do you find that a rich and helpful way to talk about the church?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've just given examples of how I find family in this church, and that's just two examples. It spreads wider than that. But I, even though I haven't experienced marriage, I have experienced, I am a daughter. I have parents. I'm really fortunate in that. I realize that's not the case for everyone. I have a twin sister and I've got a brother, so I know what it is to be a sister. I also know what it is to be an aunt. I've got four nieces and nephews. So my experience of family doesn't include being married, but it includes many other aspects.
Yeah.
And the relationship that I have with some of my close friends and family's children, how I feel towards them has given me a tiny insight into what it must feel like to be a parent, but I know it's so much bigger than that. So if I'm feeling this much love towards a child that isn't even mine, how much greater is that for a child who is mine? So, yeah, I've gained insight into what that feels yeah. like from other people's children.
That's great. I'm going to move things on a little mm-hmm. bit. Families are complicated, often, messy, frequently. I'm sure you've got some stories of people in your church family putting their foot in it. We just sort of get real yeah. and talk about some of the not so great things that have happened in your experience.
Can I recommend that if you are meeting someone new and you're just trying to establish like what their family setup is, rather than asking, are you married? And have you got kids? And for me, my answer is always no. And it's quite a stark, it exposes my singleness. And that's actually not the first thing that I need people to know about me. To ask the question, do you live with anyone? For me, is a much more, it opens up that conversation. And I think it's not just people who are single where are you married is a tricky conversation. People who have experienced bereavement or a breakdown in relationship. Also, infertility is if you are asking about children, that's a really difficult thing as well. So just think about how you're phrasing. When you meet someone new, think about how you're phrasing, trying to work out like what their setup looks like. I'm just looking at, so I'll skip through some
You've
of my
got
examples.
Some stories, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I'm just skipping a few bits. I'm going to go for it now. So going on holiday is something that I don't find that easy as a single, and I'm either having to persuade people to join me in my plans or subtly get people to invite me to join me in their plans, which has worked. I've done some amazing things. There was a invitation that came from a couple in this church who go to Centre Parks most years. I got invited. I was really grateful. And it was just at the end of lockdown, the invite came, the third lockdown. And so I said, yes, that sounds great. But it wasn't until just before we went, I saw the final list of everyone going, because there was like lots of some people saying they were coming and then it changing. And I suddenly discovered I was going away for 5 days with 10 couples. Which is fine, posed a few I just had to navigate it, and it took me a few days to get into. So there were moments where I suddenly discovered everyone was like going off and exploring. And it was at a time when you still had to book things because of COVID. So I was thinking, oh, I'd really like to go and get pancakes. Well, I'd really like to go and have coffee. And then I suddenly discovered that people had done it already because they'd gone off with their spouses just to have some time away from everyone. And once I got into it, I had a really great time, but it just took me a couple of days to sort of ground myself and be like, ah, oh, this is my situation. Anyone who was there, I had a great time. Please don't think that I didn't. But also, I think it's just worth, as family, us being aware of who might be feeling on the edges, even if they're not, it's not looking like that externally. I'm quite good at hiding that. So,
yeah. That's great. Thank you. What are some of the challenges that you experience as a single to engage with the family life of the church? Are there things that we do unthinkingly that are unhelpful for people like yourself?
One example, and I know I can see Georgie looking at me. When we do communion, very often the phrasing that is used is gather with your families and share communion together. And particularly as we were coming out of lockdown, and so we were trying to social distance and not touch everything, I found myself very often with a great hunk of bread on my own, whereas everyone else is like divvying it up between their families, and it's this intimate moment. And so it's something that we talked about, and I've really appreciated the change in language around that. So saying gather with those who are around you is so much more inclusive is just so much more inclusive. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's really helpful, isn't it? It's a helpful consciousness raiser that moment that we share together as a church family is fundamentally about us drawing together. And yet, sometimes there are ways of practicing it that can make people feel more isolated and more disconnected. Mm. Just as we conclude this part of our time together, we relate to God as Father. And one of the most beautiful things about being a Christian is that we've been brought into God's family, and we relate to him as our heavenly dad. Can you just reflect a little bit on your experience of knowing God as Father and the difference that has made in your life?
For me, so I talk about singleness as though it's something that it's something that I hope might change in the future, but equally that might not be what God's got for me. And I am pursuing God's best in my life. I'm not pursuing the ultimate prize to be a wife or be a mother. And for me, there have been lots of times, so including God in that, I'm just going to read out what I've written in a minute. Hang on. By inviting God into the pain rather than pushing him out, in my experience, leads to healing. So that doesn't always, so being active in including him, and that doesn't mean saying lots of words or doing lots of things. Sometimes it's just sitting there and crying, but knowing that God is with me. I've sat and I've cried with friends, and I haven't said anything in their sorrow, but just the act of being there is enough. And so that is my experience, including Jesus in my life. I'm not complete by any relationship that I could be in. The person right. that completes me is Jesus. And that's my ultimate goal in life. Not fulfilling certain desires that I think I might have, because actually God's given me such good things in my life. If you look at every other area of my life, he has more than exceeded what I was expecting my being 34 would look like. I've got amazing friends. I live in an amazing place. I have an amazing home and a really great job and part of an incredible family here at church. So, my God is my provider, and that has been in my experience. And it's learning to be content in what all the good things that God has given me, rather than focusing on that one thing that does cause pain sometimes.
That's great. Catherine, thanks so much for sharing with us today. Can we express our appreciation? I found it so helpful over the last couple of years to talk to Catherine about her experience of being a single in the church. We've gone, remember that long walk we took together, and we talked through a few things, didn't we? And thank you for sharing with such honesty with us this morning. What I'd like to do is draw some application points for all of us. I'm just going to hand that to you, Ben. Perhaps, could we have the next slide, please? And I want to draw out three practical points, which I think are applicable whatever our status, whether we're married or single, whether we're divorced, whether a widow, widower. First is this: lean into church family life. At Grace Church, we have meetings, but church is not meetings. Church is family. Church is community. Church is a community in which we share life with one another. And if you're a bit on the edge, if you're a bit disconnected, your invitation this morning is to lean in. Make yourself known and get to know others. And here are three ways in which you can do that. Firstly, families spend time together. That's why we have community groups. Our community groups at Grace Church are our smaller groups, which provide context in which we can get to know one another at a deeper level. And we can share what's going on in our lives. And we can be alongside one another. And we can be praying and encouraging and helping one another to do life the Jesus way. Get stuck into a community group. We have these little cards, community group life at Grace Church. You can pick one of those up from the back table. And if you're not part of a community group, but you would like to be, please let us know. And you can use the Let's Get Connected card to do that, that Ben mentioned earlier. Families spend time together. That's why we have community groups. Families serve one another. When it's Christmas time and Laura and I have the family around and there's washing up piled at the sink, someone rolls up their sleeves and they muck in. Why? Because that's what families do. When the car breaks down at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm on my phone, Dad! Right? Because families do that for one another. And here at Grace Church, we have our serving teams. Our serving teams are not just about filling gaps in rotas. We have serving teams because this is how we express our care for one another. We help one another. We support one another. We serve one another. If you're not part of a serving team at Grace Church, pick up one of these cards, the sign me up card, and get stuck in. Lean in to church family life. And families are committed to one another. That's why we have joining in moments. Last Tuesday evening, Matt and John hosted a joining in evening. This afternoon, my wife Laura and I, along with Ben, are hosting a joining in afternoon. If you'd like to explore what it means to be a committed member of this church family, come to a joining in evening or a joining in lunch. And you can let us know that you'd like to do that. Again, by picking up a Let's Get Connected card, put your details down and write joining in, and we'll tell you when the next joining in evening or the next joining in lunch is taking place. Families spend time together. That's why we have community groups. They serve one another, so we have serving teams. Families are committed to one another. That's why we have these joining in moments. That's the first thing. The second thing, next slide, please. Invest in relationships. Take initiative. And perhaps some of you were sat there listening to Catherine a few moments ago thinking, well, Grace Church doesn't feel like family to me. I don't know people. I don't feel they really know me. Which then raises the question, how are you doing at investing in relationships? Rather than waiting for people to come towards you, how are you doing at moving towards others? Vaughan Roberts, who is a pastor and same-sex attracted and a single man, has written a beautiful book on friendship called True Friendship. And in this book, he writes, instead of lamenting that no one invites us for a meal, that our church is so unfriendly, and that everyone relates at such a superficial level, let us take the initiative to open our homes and lives and see what happens. And I confess, this does not come naturally to me. Because I may not give these vibes when I'm standing at the front, but I am an introvert. And if introversion and extroversion is on a scale, I'm really far down the far end of the introversion spectrum. I kid you not, I can spend days without speaking to a single soul. Oh, and those moments are life-giving for me. I love those moments. I love spending time in the company of my own thoughts. That's how I am. That's how I'm wired. That's how God has made me. When as a young man I opened the scriptures and I saw God's vision for his church in the Bible, I was so captivated by that vision. I found it such a compelling vision to give myself to planting and strengthening churches that had the look and feel of family. And I realized I'm going to have to learn some new tricks. I'm going to have to grow in certain ways, ways that feel a bit uncomfortable and a bit unnatural to me. That is why, I kid you not, I learned to like tea. Growing up, I hated drinking tea. And then I worked for a church in Newquay. We had a drop-in center. Every Friday night, they would open the doors of the church from 9 o'clock onwards into the early hours of the morning. People would come in off the streets, homeless people, people who'd been clubbing, and they'd come in. And I found it was absolutely impossible to sit down and build a relational connection with anyone unless I had a cup of tea. I would sit there sipping my horrible tea, pile sugar into it. But I found that was a way in which I could engage and interact and begin to build relationship. I learned to like tea. I had to allow God to challenge my natural tendency to withdraw. It's a daily challenge for me. I had to push through my reticence about opening my home. You know, hospitality is absolutely fundamental to becoming relationally connected and building family in the church, opening our homes to one another. I had to ask God to help me build relationships with the church who I found a bit difficult. Clearly, I'm not talking about anyone here this morning. I had to learn how to lay hold of the gospel and apply the gospel in asking members of the church for forgiveness when I'd wronged them and in forgiving others when they'd wronged me. And all of that has been difficult. But God calls every one of us to do the difficult thing. Take initiative. Be on the front foot. Be proactive. Invest in relationship. Lean into church family life. Secondly, invest in relationship. Take initiative. And finally, final slide, please. Remember, family is complicated, and that's okay. Please raise your hand if you have a straightforward family. No drama, no crises, no shame, no messy relationships, no scandal. Any of us? I thought not. Here's the thing about family. It's a beautiful thing. It's a necessary thing. God has created us for family. Ultimately, he's created us to be part of his family. But families are messy. And the Bible gives us our family history. I sometimes think opening the pages of the Bible, reading the Bible, is like looking back through the family albums. You know, the photo albums? You pick up a photo album from the shelf, you flip back through the photos, you go, oh, that's Uncle Bert. He was a bit odd. Then you turn the page, oh, it's Auntie Jemima. She was lovely. But do you remember that annoying habit that she had, always patting you on the head whenever you were with her? Reading the Bible is like that. It's like looking back through the family album. There's Abraham. Abraham is spoken of in glowing terms in the New Testament. But have you read the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis? Those moments that he was a bit of a rogue. You turn the page. Oh, it's Abraham's son, Isaac. What would it have been like for Isaac to have gone through life when as a young man his father had taken him, bound him, put him on an altar, and come within a second of slaying him? Don't you think that Isaac may possibly have carried a bit of emotional trauma with him into the rest of his life? You turn the next page. Isaac's son, Jacob. What do we know about Jacob? He was a trickster, a swindler, and a cheat. Hey, folks, this is our family. When church is messy, When church family life is complicated, I take great heart in looking back through our family story. We don't give up on church when it gets difficult. We don't disengage. We ask God, Lord, help me to see these messy people as you see them. Help me to take to heart the fact that these people are the people for whom Christ shed his precious blood at the cross. And I'll tell you, that's what keeps me going as a pastor, as an elder in this church. And it's a beautiful thing to be part of family in which we see glimpses of the glory of God in amongst all the mess and the complexities. Lean into family life. Be an initiative taker. Take the rough with the smooth. And we need to see all these things in the context of grace. Why do we do these things? We don't do these things because we have to do them. We do these things because we get to do them. And because when the Spirit of God works on our hearts, we find ourselves wanting to do them. What a privilege it is to be part of the family of God. Catherine, what a privilege it is to be part of your family. For us to be brother and sister. It's a joy, an honor. What a privilege it is to have been far off, to have been separated, to have been a foreigner, a stranger. And for God to have brought me, for God to have brought each one of us in, so that together we are the household of God. What a privilege it is to share life as single people, married people, old people, young people, British people, non-British people. Let each one of us play our part in helping make this church, Grace Church, a place where the lonely can find a home. Our vision is to fill Cornwall with healthy churches where everyone can find a home. Let's invest and play our part in what God is doing here. Catherine, why don't you come and pray for us just as we close this part of the time together, and then the band will lead us in a final song.
Father God, thank you that we are part of your family. Thank you that church as community is a family. And Lord, I just pray that you will help each one of us to lean in. For those who are feeling lonely and feeling on the edges, we pray for friendship. For those of us who've been here a long time and know quite a few people, help us notice those people who aren't feeling completely included. Thank you that despite family sometimes being messy and sometimes not being exactly how we think it should be, that you are in it and part of it and a father over us. And Lord, I just pray that we will do family better as a church as well. That it's something that we can always improve on. We just invite you here into these last moments of this service. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Let's give thanks to God for the beautiful thing he's done